Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the library head. And maybe we switch places.
Yeah, maybe.
Because you're louder.
That's a good idea. Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. What's up this time?
This time, we're going to be talking about a few books called Fighting Fantasy.
Fighting Fantasy. Sorry. Different recording environment today, folks. Yeah.
Coming to you live from Mom's basement.
So, Fighting Fantasy, some folks might have already heard of. It's not a new thing, certainly.
You might have heard of Steve Jackson.
Yeah, you certainly, if you're in this space at all, you've heard of Steve Jackson. Probably most famous among regular people for Munchkin. People really like that. That's a fun party game with a little bit of, you know, fantasy RPG DNA, but it's just a goof on all of it. And, you know, a bunch of other stuff, including, like, the GURPS role-playing system back in the day. Fighting Fantasy is something that we kind of fairly recently stumbled upon. And, we checked it out. You want to
take them through what they are? Yeah.
What is Fighting Fantasy?
So, if you remember the, like, choose-your-own-adventure books, like, the Goosebumps had one, I believe,
mm-hmm.
where it's, like,
Goosebumps had a few.
Here's what's happening if you would like to go, like, down the corridor to your left, turn a page, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, like, the concept and the format, and there's only, like, five of them, or did they make more?
There's, like, five official ones from the beginning. There's a couple, like, off-brand similar products because it's not something you can trademark. It's just a choose-your-own-adventure book. And then, yeah, I did hear that they were coming back again with some new releases, but I haven't checked that out or heard anything about it.
Cool. Well, so, yeah, the, like, official five all are, like, different scenarios in this, you know, its own fantasy worlds. They have a map.
Mm-hmm.
Maps are pretty cool. And so, like, yeah, each book is its own little adventure in this fantasy world. And what makes this different than, like, the Goosebumps one I did when I was a tad of a lad, is there's, like, stats and dice rolls involved. A little more role play than just, like, you know, walking around in a haunted mansion.
Yeah. So, in the back of the book, there's rules for how to play it as a game, and then there's a few pages of character sheets with the expectation, well, for sure you're going to die. You're going to die and fail on
at least once, probably.
Yeah, on your way through the adventure. No way you're going to, like, one-shot it. And then, you know, are you going to just, like, rerun that same character, or you can make a different one and roll for slightly different stats?
Yeah. So it's real kind of rules light. You only have three stats,
mm-hmm.
Like your skill, which is pretty much everything,
yeah.
Right?
If there's anything that would be a check or like an action roll or a save or whatever in a more familiar RPG, you roll your skill value.
Mm-hmm. Then you have your stamina, which is your health. And then you have your luck, which is kind of like it's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's luck. Some things are just determined by a luck roll. And all of those stats can go up or down in different situations.
Yeah. And you don't have, like, really, like, you have starting gear, but it's just like, you don't get to pick your starting gear. It's just like you start with a shield and sword.
It tells you who your character is. And it also does, you know, what would be a session zero, essentially. Like, mm-hmm. it tells you, this is the situation. You're this guy. You can name him and, like, flavor him a little bit, but you don't have a lot of control over that.
Yeah.
And then it says, this is the quest you're starting out on. And this is the goal you care about getting from here to there.
Yeah, and there's, you know, no backstory, really. You can make up your own backstory, but it doesn't give you, like, a a long history lesson of like what the realm is like. Mm-hmm. It just kind of says you're in this town and or this forest and you're doing this.
Yeah.
Go get him, tiger.
Yeah, go get him, tiger. You're probably gonna die. So to play a fighting fantasy true, you're not supposed to like keep bookmarks or anything. It does encourage you to keep a map, because there's a lot of stuff about like which way do you turn at certain mm-hmm. Intersections or whatever in the dungeon or in the forest. And it's not often that a choice will kill you outright. It will usually just like lead you down a different path, and the paths will continue leading you down places.
Unless, of course, you're playing the Death Trap Dungeon, in which case...
kills you a lot.
There's a lot of instant death.
Yeah. And
very annoying.
And I guess that gets me to my first sort of, like, issue with it, is...
Before we get into that.
Okay.
So, like, you talked about, like, you're probably going to die, and then, like, there is a right way to do the adventure.
Yes.
They say that, like, up front in the very beginning.
There's one true path through this struggle.
And it's relatively easy. So, like, it uses a 2d6 system. So, like, when you roll up your stats, for skill and luck, 12 is the max you can get. Right? And then, you know, depending on the average, you know, the average says you're going to get less, right? Of 2d6. Mm-hmm. So, it's like the true path is manageable with bad stats, and like that's how you know you're on the right path, is things are relatively easy.
Mm-hmm.
Except for in the Death Trap Dungeon, because like I track the optimum path for that, there are some tough ass fights in that.
Yeah. And that, so
your first gripe,
my first gripe is that unlike a well-run RPG session with a game master and players, you know, a good game master will put interactable challenges, encounters and stuff in front of the players, and failure ending in a total party kill is really just like generally not great adventure design. There should always be, you know, you should fail forward in terms of narrative. Failure should lead to something else. It should mean that, like, you know, you're in a harder place. You've lost access to something, and so you have to find a new way to solve a problem. The way fighting fantasy is, and it's, you know, a lot of it is just like the limitations of its presentation. There is a lot of just like binary success or failure, which stops you. Mm. And you don't have, if the dice say you failed here, too bad.
Yeah. It's a role-playing game in the same way that, like, a roguelike is a role-playing game.
Right. And like, a roguelike...
Is it, though?
is probably, like, a better analogy for what this is. This is like a roguelike in a book
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you do runs and you start to learn the paths and you start to remember that, like, oh, don't go down there. Or if you do go down there, you better make sure you drank the thing.
Yeah.
Did you drink that potion before you went down the scary corridor? Because that's the only way to get through the scary corridor. And you start to learn it. And it, you know, it feels maybe, because it is, a relic of a different time when, you know, you didn't have as much other things that you could be playing, but you could always carry a paperback around with you, and so you could just like run this paperback multiple times until you got it down.
Mm-hmm. How far did you get into the forest?
I didn't start the forest. I packed it and then realized, like, oh, I packed up that whole room. Shit, I don't have that book right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I did Death Trap Dungeon entirely. You did Forest of Doom, and then got into Death Trap Dungeon as well.
Yeah.
And we have two others.
And then Brian got the fifth one.
Oh, Brian.
Shout out to Brian.
Yeah,
we got a complete set.
Okay, so yeah, between us all, we have a complete set of the original Fighting Fantasy series. We have both played it, but we have not played all of it. So some of these gripes might not apply to all of them.
Yeah. If I am correct in my wild assumptions, I think Death Trap Dungeon was first, and Forest of Doom is later on, because Forest of Doom was much better.
Was it?
Well, and like, it was just like, it was more kind of, you can find several ways to get to where you need to be, whereas Death Trap Dungeon is like, if you choose the wrong path, you're dead.
Yeah,
because it's a
and you death can trap you dungeon. Can go the right way through, but if you don't have the crystals,
mm-hmm.
then
yeah,
like, well, you don't win. You can get to the end and still not win because mm-hmm. you didn't get the right stuff along the way.
Yeah, so like, that's one of the limitations. I guess you kind of already touched on it, but like, there is no. There is no outside the box thinking.
Yeah, there's no forgiveness for a bad decision. There's no like interesting narrative alternative that comes from failure in a fight or choosing the wrong path or not being well prepared for a physical obstacle. Sometimes it's like, do you have a rope? Great. That use the rope. And if you don't have the rope, doesn't work. And if that was, you know, if that was any other role-playing system with a game master in a party, you would just creatively solve the problem.
Well, with, yeah, that's with, what I was with a lack of resources. Is, you know, oh, you come up to an obstacle, right? Oh, you don't have a rope, but like maybe you have, I don't know, climbing pittance, right? But no rope, but you still have the spikes. So it's like, yeah, we make handholds with the spikes,
mm-hmm.
right? But like, you know, that's not an option. Because it's already written, right? It's not being created as it's happening. There is no room for improvisation,
right?
Which, you know, you can't really do with a book, right? It's mm-hmm. just the limitations of the media.
Yeah. And I guess, so a cool idea, right? In a time where, you know, mobile video gaming didn't exist before, like, you know, Game Boy RPGs, before, like, you know, Pokemon on the Game Boy. That was an incredible, like, leap forward in playing a big role-playing game on a device that you could carry around in your pocket and didn't involve other people until you could do the link cable competitive stuff. But, like, you could just play that game completely by yourself and... That's pretty cool.
It still takes, well, and like, you know, I think it's just the development of gaming. Because, like, you know, you brought up Pokemon. So, like, I remember in Pokemon Red and Blue, and Yellow, I guess, you had to get past the Snorlax.
Yeah.
Right? But to do that, you had to get the flute.
Right.
Which, well, like...
Which it doesn't tell you.
To do that, you needed to bring the drink of water to, like, the... park ranger or something.
Yeah, like you had to get it through a kind of convoluted old school CRPG thing that, you know, if you don't know, it takes a lot of experimentation to figure it out.
Right. Yeah, it's like you got to talk to everybody, you got to try different combinations, and like, you know, you just hit a complete railroad, which, you know, it happens, and it's not something that we do now in the tabletop space because we don't have to.
Right. And there's a difference between a railroaded experience and an experience that a GM has prepared content for a thing.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily a negative to be like the game master, to be a game master and to be like, I've prepared this starting area. And then I've prepared, like, the first adventure. And my expectation is you're going to go from the starting tavern or whatever to the first dungeon area. It's not bad railroad. It's not, like, pejorative railroading for a game master to have prepared content for you to play. What Fighting Fantasy is, you know, very, very railroady. In terms of, like, you can't ever be like, well, you know, what if I stop here and try and, like, craft something for a thing that I think might be coming up? Or, you know, can I go all the way back? That's the thing. There's very little opportunity to be, yeah, like, I turn around.
That's what I wanted to talk about, that point as well. which is it was hard to navigate because of with a game master, you can always be like, well, actually, we're gonna go back.
Yeah.
But like, you know, unless it's a like prescribed option, it's technically cheating,
right? And you could turn back to a previous entry. What it is all a bunch of paragraphs, and they're numbered 1 through 600 or whatever.
400, I believe. I mean, at least Forest of Doom and Death Trap Dungeon were 400.
So there's like 400-ish entries, and each one is a paragraph taken up, you know, like a little bit to maybe a half the page, depending on the depth of the encounter. And you can always just like keep a finger in the book at your last page and turn back to it. But the book doesn't read in reverse, you know, like when you, if you're like, I don't want to go either of these directions, I want to go back to the last intersection. It doesn't read in reverse. Like, you know, you came back.
Mm-hmm.
It just starts that over from the beginning. And there's no way around that in a written book. You'd have to double everything. Mm-hmm. You'd have to write every single room from the perspective of coming into it from a different direction.
Yeah.
So it doesn't support the idea of like, oh, this is scary, let me turn back and see if I can, you know. There are some points where it's like, do you want to keep going or do you want to go back to the intersection? That does exist, but it's generally not narratively supported, the idea that, you know, oh, this is too scary, let me, you know, let me fall back.
Or, like, you come to that thing that you need the rope for, and you're like, oh, well, I don't have any rope. I'm going to go look for some rope.
Can I turn around and go back through the dungeon? It's situations like that are usually just a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dead end. No, like, a dead end, usually, because sometimes it just kills you.
In the Death Trap Dungeon, that shit just kills you.
Yeah.
I think what I did when I was going through it, after my like first playthrough in Forest of Doom, is I started marking like how I arrived at a panel. So like, oh, you know, panel one says, you know, walk forward and then you choose a path, you know, turn to 270 or 66.
Yeah.
So like I'd choose
pencil mark on it. What was the route that led me here? Right. So that you could turn back to that if you needed to.
Well, and just in substitute of a map, because the thing I found difficult about Forest, because the first time I tried to make a map in Forest of Doom, but it's hard because you don't know exactly how big you have to draw shit, right? So it's like, okay, so I'm going west, 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 okay, north, and then like now I gotta go east, you know, north, and then like you make it just a circle and you're like, oh shit, well now I can't tell at all where
and that's
I was.
The wrong scale, and you know, obviously this isn't on top of this, but
yeah.
The way I scaled but, it, it is.
That's why I also think Forest of Doom is better, and they learned a lot from their
first
iterations, because Forest of Doom does have a map page that you can draw on, whereas like Death Trap Dungeon does not. But by the time I did Death Trap Dungeon, I was doing the little markings on panels. But that got really confusing when I died 3 or 4 times, and like now I have to like make like initials of my characters' names, and then like I forget, you know, who's who, and yeah, it was a mess. Yeah.
Let's talk briefly about the like combat resolution mechanic stopped using it essentially. Yeah. Because that, I think, is like the worst and weakest aspect of this as a game, and you realize like, as a choose-your-own-adventure, this can be pretty fun. But when you start engaging with the gameplay mechanics of it, you're like, this sucks. When you, you know, when a dice kills you at something you had no real chance to, like, prepare for, and you don't have any, like, spells or character abilities, like, you don't have anything you can choose to engage.
Well, there's absolutely no tactics.
Yes. Yeah. It is just a series of pass or fail rolls where in which you either like make progress against the enemy's hit points or lose your own stamina to the point where you're dead.
Yeah. Okay, so combat system, we talked a little bit about, it's a 2d6 and skill is your ability that you use for everything, right? So you use skill in a combat. Enemy stats are also very minimal. They have a skill and a stamina.
Mm-hmm.
So you roll 2d6 for like the monster and then add their skill, and then you roll 2d6 for you and add your skill, and whatever number is higher is the one who does damage.
Yeah. And it's what it reminds me of is like Warcraft 3, the RTS game before the MMO, mm-hmm. where, you know, you have like an orc warrior and a human swordsman, and they just hit each other. You know, yeah. They just hit
the
each other.
The graphics are them hitting each other and, like, you know, little numbers pop up.
Yeah. And whenever one health bar gets to zero, they're dead. But it's even less, because you can time that. You know that the orc is a little tougher than the human swordsman. So if you have a couple of orcs, you know they're going to kill that human swordsman, and the human swordsman's damage is going to be spread across the orcs. And, you know, it's not even like that, because it is random. So you roll for you. You roll for the bad guy. It could swing either way, and you could, you know, you could finish a fight with, like, one stamina left and be like, all right, well, the next thing that happens to me is going to be my death.
Oh, you got to eat some food. We forgot to mention, you do start with
potions, right, so, and provisions.
Starting equipment, right, you get a sword and a shield, and then, like, you do get one potion, which restores one of your stats.
Yeah.
To its initial value, and then you get 10 provisions, which is just, you know, food for health.
Yeah. And there are moments where you can recover some. You can, you know, find a thing on a dead mm-hmm. adventurer that adds to that pool or whatever. But it just, you know.
Yeah. What I thought was a really cool mechanic, and it just made me, you know, my brain itchy, as our listener would say.
Mm-hmm.
Listener singular. is the, when you're fighting, like, two guys at once, like, you have to pick which one, like, you're actively fighting and doing damage to, and then the other one, you still roll as normal, but if you beat the enemy's roll, you just defend.
Yeah.
So you can't do damage to both at the same
but
time.
But it doesn't hurt you if you pass your defense.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool, because
there's a little bit of management in it,
which is where, like, abilities would be, where abilities just come in is, like, I think that is for, like, sword and sorcery stuff, and mainly just sword play. For, like, sword play,
yeah, because I don't think there's any version of, at least in the two that we've interacted with, where you can be a wizard and get mm-hmm, spells yeah. that, like, you can deploy to change the outcome of an encounter. It's just like, do you have a weapon?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What I was gonna say is, I like that, because in swordplay, like, a 2-on-1 is extremely, like, difficult, and that one person's probably gonna die. And, like, you know, that's why the Butcher of Blaviken is named the Butcher of Blaviken, because he killed 5 guys.
Yeah, because he sword fought more than one guy and beat all of them.
Right.
You know.
Or, you know, like a Jaime Lannister, who can take on that. But, like, usually, if there's 2v1, the two are going
to
win.
Yeah.
And, like,
the
guy...
you don't even have to be that right, good. Yeah. You just have to, like, not be the one he's looking at and stab him.
Yeah. So, like, I do like that. And, like, I might incorporate it in some future role-playing games of...
It does seem like, yeah, there's...
You know, and, like, that's where an ability comes in. It's like, I'm a swordsman, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the ability
is. I have a talent for that,
yeah.
So yeah.
So, like, I can take on 2 people at once without a penalty.
Yeah, when I beat their defense, I also deal damage, even if it's not the one I'm damaging. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I could damage either one, because they both attack for you. But I found just the resolution of that to just really suck, to, like, just take turns rolling.
Well, yeah, and, like, because sometimes, like, the mods, and especially in the Death Trap dungeon, some of those required fights, it's like, this guy has a skill of 10 and a stamina of 12, and it's like, okay, so at minimum that's 12 dice rolls, and they all have to go in my favor, except for, actually, it's not, because this is where luck comes in a way you can use luck is to do, like, critical hits. So if you deal damage, right, your skill roll is higher, you can choose to test your luck, which reduces your luck after the roll, but if you beat the luck roll, then you deal double damage. If you fail the luck roll, you only deal 1 damage, where standard attacks is 2 damage.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to say that. So, like, yeah, that 12 stamina monster, at minimum, that's 6 rolls, winning your luck roll every time.
So that's 12 rolls. You got to win the fight.
And then roll.
And then beat your luck.
So it's still 12 rolls.
Yeah, so it's still 12 rolls. Either 12 successful attacks or 6 successful attacks plus 6 successful luck rolls.
Right.
And depending on your stats, one of those is a better option than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, you're unlikely to hit all 12 in a row. You're probably going to take some damage. And then you're just on the other side of that fight, depleted.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that is, I would say, you know, not dramatically interesting. It's just statistically punishing.
Yeah, and like, I mean, this just kind of plays against our sensibilities, and like, you know, not dragging out combat.
Yeah.
Because like, I think D&D can get there where, like, you know, there's a big monster and you do have to like do 12 successful attacks. Like the party has to do 12 turns to kill the fucker.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, the way we like to do it is, you know, 3 rolls.
Yeah. Yeah. If a fight goes past 3 rounds,
mm-hmm.
people are going to start checking out and looking at their phones. But yeah. So I guess for the most part, that is fighting fantasy. If I were to create a similar product, what I would like to write into it would be a lot more ambiguity. Maybe still only like 3 or 4 stats, but the option is not there to like de-escalate a combat situation or to like, you know, overcome. To overcome anything in other than the prescribed way, and you know, I don't know how much this would expand this, but also we're not limited to the page count of a paperback anymore. A fighting fantasy like could be much bigger with a lot more options as a like hyperlinked PDF,
mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, all right, solve this. And then and not write some of this narrative, just like tell you in the beginning that you can solve this stuff however you want to. And then be like, I try and get past the barbarian swordsman with my charisma stat. And then you get to make up what that looks like. And then, you know, have a number of different options under the paragraph that says, here's this barbarian. He's mad at you. How do you get past it? And be like, if you, you know, pass with charisma versus pass with combat, that takes you to a different that takes you to a different paragraph, something like that. Well, I don't know.
Two things. One, I think I quite enjoyed the combination of there are some fights that it's just a fight. Like
yeah.
You surprise some goblin or you know you surprise some orcs and then you're in a fight, right? And then there's some where it's like, oh, I come across 2 hobgoblins. Do you want to talk to them or do you want to charge in there with your sword? And there's some other examples too.
That's true. I got to play Forest of Doom because Death Trap Dungeon has very little of that.
Well, those are 2 examples from Death Trap
Dungeon. Are they?
Yeah.
I don't remember orcs.
Yeah. In one of the tunnels, you come around the corner and then if you fail your... original, or if you, you know, it's like roll a skill check. If you fail it, the orcs hit you, and if you fail it bad, then they like disarm you.
Mm.
But if you succeed, then you're just fighting 2 orcs. But luckily, the corridor is narrow enough that you only fight 1 at a time.
Okay.
And then you come across 2 hobgoblins fighting over a bag, and it's like sneak past them, talk to them, charge in.
Okay. Yeah, so just like more things like that for every encounter to have options like that, which they don't all do. And I do imagine that like it could have existed except for the limitations of cheap paperbacks back in the day. You know, they probably had a page count that they were trying to stick to. And yeah.
But I think there's a lesson in there that I mean, I don't think we need, but, and probably our listeners,
because we're so good.
Yeah. So if anybody ever starts listening to this besides Brian, this might be for you. Because, like, in a role-playing space, I think there are some fights that are just going to be fights. And then there are some that you can talk your way out of. And then there are some that turn into fights because you talk so stupid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You said something that, you know, the NPC got mad at or whatever.
Right.
So I do like the kind of lesson of you only have these options and not every time.
Yeah.
Because it's weird that, like, I think we've kind of swung, the pendulum has swung back from, like, murder hobo. And, like, now everyone wants to talk
through everything. Yeah. And there is, this was a long time ago. This was maybe like 5 or 8 years ago. And I don't remember what video this is in, but in one of Matt Colville's, like, How to Be a Dungeon Master videos, he talked about the idea that, like, there should be stuff in your pen and paper role-playing adventure where the players can fight them and not feel bad about killing them because it is this, like, pulpy adventure at the core of it. And that doesn't mean you should forego entirely the concept of negotiation or social encounters, but that, like, you know, there is value in a setting where just, like, you know, there's undead or the, mm-hmm. like, the goblins are just, like, irredeemably evil because it's fun to just, like, have right. these fights. And sometimes an encounter should just be a fight because that is part of the game,
mm-hmm.
you know. And making a fight be something to avoid because it's dangerous for you is different from what I think you're saying, this pendulum swinging the other way where, like, nobody fights anybody. Everyone wants to, like, understand everyone's point of view. And that is a laudable quality to hold in real life,
mm-hmm.
you know, to avoid violence and to try and understand other perspectives so that you don't have to get to the point of violence. But in, you know, in these silly games, sometimes it's fun to just fight monsters and
right in a fantasy. Yeah. And, like, you know, I think that the pendulum has swung that way because, like, we're getting better at storytelling and there's more gray areas and, like, you know, a lovable villain is, yeah. you know, a good, sympathetic, possibly redeemable villains,
mm-hmm. You know, are interesting characters. Mm-hmm. So you want to write interesting characters. You want to present interesting characters to your players and you want them to engage with them. Right. So, you know,
but, you know, keep orcs evil, right?
Hashtag keep orcs evil.
They don't need to have babies.
I mean, they're born of blood. It is a weird thing to, like, you know, to say that puts you in a weird sort of, like, alt-right counterculture camp. But I do think there's fundamental value in a story like this, or this gameplay experience that is also a story, in there just, like, being bad guys.
Right.
Bad guys who it's okay to fight. And yeah, that might not, like, super well reflect reality, but the pendulum swinging so hard the other way, where nobody wants to do that. Everyone wants to talk to everybody and find everything out and understand the perspective of everything that they interact with. That's also unrealistic because, you know, sometimes these people are not interested in doing that. They're interested in, like, or people, these monsters, creatures, whatever, mm-hmm. or people, like,
could be people,
you know, it could be just, like, bandits, like humans with families and, you know, every thought and feeling that you have, but they've made a decision to kill and take from you. And so you have to defend yourself. And so it's okay to fight back and kill them in the context of this fictional,
mm-hmm.
you know, situation. Yeah, it's an interesting thing that I hadn't really thought of, but I think is very astute, is that the pendulum has swung really far away from
murder hobo.
Yeah, from just, like, we go into every tomb and dungeon and we kill everything there for the treasure. We are so far away from that feels like almost
old-timey and quaint.
Yeah, old-timey and bad, like almost like a Jim Crow era of role-playing games where, you know, that was okay. but it was never okay because you weren't understanding the goblin's perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a setting where the goblins are interesting and culturally rich, obviously you want to engage with that, but also where does drama come from?
Yeah.
Fights.
It's not, because we're not in our usual recording space, so we don't have the board up.
Yeah.
But we could, let's put that on the board for like a possible future episode, is talking about that concept of, you know, bad guys.
Yeah.
There should be some bad guys that are just like real bad guys.
Bad guys. It should be okay to, you know, okay. We just watched the new Star Wars, and I noticed two things. Well, it did the same thing two times. It is okay to shoot and blow up and punch stormtroopers.
Mm-hmm.
Always, right? It's always okay to shoot stormtroopers. They're shooting at you and they work for the Empire. So they are just like, by the visual language of this setting,
mm-hmm.
they're bad guys and it's okay to kill them. And then the same thing with the droids on the Hutt planet.
Mm-hmm.
They're robots. They're programmed to defend the Hutts and to kill you. So it is okay to beat them up and shoot them and blow them up.
With prejudice.
Yeah. And having something like that, I think this is set up for a more interesting conversation in our regular recording space with hopefully good mm-hmm. audio. We'll see how this turns out.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Saying, you know, as I know I'm not going to listen back to this one.
Yeah. There's just, you know, it is important to have stuff like that. But, all right, so let's bring it back maybe to
fighting. Back to your idea of, like, how you would do the fighting fantasy of, mm-hmm. like, you know, you have, like, four stats and, like, oh, do you use your charisma or strength to get past this
And then
person?
Some things, like what you said, do not give you that option.
Something that I want to do a whole episode on is, like, perception checks in general, because something that took me a little bit to get used to in the fighting fantasy is there is, because it's, you know, you have like three options,
mm-hmm.
and like usually you only have two, right? But like occasionally you get a third or maybe even a fourth,
and a lot of times that third is just like the go back option, if that exists,
right? But there's no option to be like, I'm gonna look a usually I can think of one example out of the two books where this happened, but it's like, usually it's just like, do you drink the liquid or do you not drink the liquid?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no like, there's no context. I want to smell it. I want to swirl it around.
Like, do I have anything in my background that would tell me, you know, is this worth everything? Everything is, it's like you're in a casino. Everything is a game of chance hidden behind an inscrutable wall of, you know what? It is a choice, and you get as much information as is written in the paragraph. And usually there is nothing contextual in that paragraph to help you make that decision.
So in your version, would there be like a perception stat?
I think there would have to be. And then some things would be, you know, something like that. This choice of like, you know, there's a way to go forward. And there's also a potion here. Should you drink it or not drink it? Or just carry it with you? There should be a, like, you know, find out more information option that should take you to another paragraph that, if you pass that check, it takes you to another paragraph, gives you some more information, then takes you back to that question paragraph. That's a lot more stuff to write.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably the reason why, I can't imagine the designers and writers who did fighting fantasy back in the 80s saw this and were like, this is perfect. This is the best thing we could possibly do. No, they were making a product under limitations. I'm sure they would have done something like that if they could. But doesn't save fighting fantasy from being what it is now, which is an at times inscrutable and like arbitrarily punishing experience.
Yeah. I think, having in like the, you know, our proposed version, I guess, having more perception options would be a better experience. And I think, with a, like a link PDF, it wouldn't be too hard to do. but I think
the word count would balloon though.
Sure. And like that's why it would be like a limited thing where like most of the time it's just a choice, because even like, all right, you know, think potion. Okay, do I drink it or do I not drink it? Or do I want to find out more about the potion? So you like, you pass a perception check, you find out a paragraph about the potion, still goes back to drink it or not drink it.
Drink it or not drink it.
Right, or, you know, I guess carry it with you.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not drinking
it. But also, that's the sort of nuance that
Fighting
Fantasy sometimes doesn't have. You're like, lacks, I don't drink it now, and then these subsequent paragraphs don't have it written in that, like...
Like, you put it in your pocket.
You have it in your pocket. If you drink it, does that change future options?
Yeah.
Usually it doesn't. And... So, yeah, a system that, like, accounted for, have you drunk this, or do you have this in your inventory? Sometimes it does. It's like, if you have a rope, use the rope, and you get to, like, bypass an obstacle. Doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
There are not very many of these encounter paragraphs that account for a third option based on you carrying something useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have to be... That'd be like a sublayer written through everything.
Yeah. So I want to put that on this, on our ad hoc board to talk about another time in depth is perception and like the lessons that I've extracted from doing the Fighting Fantasy books about perception and like kind of my new hot take on it.
I think that, yeah. And We should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
I don't know that we got that much more to say about Fighting Fantasy, but a couple things have come of it. You have an idea about perception checks and the mechanical concept of that. I would like to get into the idea of, you know, who it's okay to fight and that there should be guys that it's okay to fight in adventure fiction, which is what most, you know, pen and paper games are. But yeah, food is ready and people are here. So,
just a second, Mom.
What last stuff about Fighting Fantasy? Anything?
We're saving our game. I think it's a cool idea. I think it's a fun, entertaining thing to do on like a plane ride.
Yeah.
And I got way too like focused on like finding like the optimum route and like mapping out all the options, because I think it was it's an incredible piece of work, each book, where like, you know, things are interconnected and like the pieces you can build on. Well, now we're running out of time, because I also wanted to talk about that. We can save that for another episode, so put that on the board.
Okay.
Of like, you know, just I have new thoughts on branching paths and like
the way you lay out the branching paths, the possible options
of story
that an adventure could take.
Yeah.
I thought back in the day that adventures could be... Yes, hello, we'll be up in a second.
Food ready? Oh yeah. Go.
Yeah, we know. We're coming out.
Well, I didn't know that, but okay. Thanks, Dad. All
right. They're dragging us out. I forgot what I was saying.
Something about branching paths.
Oh, when we started, I thought that there was like probably a flowchart that like solved the problem of adventure writing. It turns out adventure writing is much more complicated than that. But this is an example of someone... a group of creatives putting that to what is essentially a flowchart and creating a successful thing. It's punishing, it's not always fun, but it works.
Yeah.
So, you know, Fighting Fantasy, check it out. It's certainly not without its value. It's not always fun, but it is cool that it exists, and there's a lot of ideas in it.
Yeah.
Okay, should we wrap? Head on over to the 2HGM Patreon if you like what you hear. You want to check out more stuff. We have a few downloadable RPG products and funsies, and that's also how you can get in touch with us through our Discord. We might be moving off Discord. I'm not totally sure what we're going to do about that.
Yeah.
With its new bullshit privacy policies, but we will figure that out, and that information will be on Patreon if we make a change. Yeah, we talked about Fighting Fantasy. It's a series from Steve Jackson Games in the 80s. I think there's 5 core books and maybe some new ones coming out. A revival, possibly. But we'll have to fact check that off air.
I'm not going to do that.
No. You can do it, listener. Yeah. Thank you to the Burning Saviors, as always, for the use of the theme song, Pond Hill is Finest, is the intro and outro to our show. And we'll see you next time.
See you next time.